Another major message and theme in the Quran is that men and women are equal and complementary. The revelation of Islam raised the status of women in a number of ways, prohibited female infanticide, abolished women's status as property, established women's legal capacity, and allowed women to retain control over their property. It changed marriage from a proprietary to a contractual relationship, granting women the right to receive their own dowry and also granting women financial maintenance from their husbands in divorce, for example. It also prescribed a set of conditions to limit the husband's free ability to divorce at will. Men and women are equally responsible for promoting a moral order and adhering to the five pillars of Islam. As the Quran in the 9th chapter, verses 71 to 72 states, the believers, men and women, are protectors of one another. They enjoin what is just and forbid what is evil. They observe regular prayers, pay zakat, and obey God and His messenger. On them will God pour His mercy. For God is exalted in power, wise. God has promised to believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein. This verse draws added significance from the fact that it was the last Quran verse to be revealed that addressed relations between men and women. Some Muslim scholars, certainly not all, argue on the basis of both content and chronology that this verse outlines the ideal vision of the relationship between men and women in Islam, one of equality and complementarity. Related to this is the theme of love and justice in family relationships, emphasizing that it is love and justice, not cruelty, which is promoted by the Quran. Quran chapter 30, verse 21 states, "And among his signs, in this that he created for you, mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them. And he has put love and mercy between your hearts. Behold, verily, in that are signs for those who reflect." Quran 4:19 further commands, "O you who believe, you are forbidden to inherit women against their will, nor should you treat them with harshness. On the contrary, live with them on a footing of kindness and equity. If you take a dislike to them, it may be that you dislike a thing through which God brings about a great deal of good." Likewise, the hadith or prophetic traditions note Muhammad's respect and protection of women. Indeed, Muhammad is said to have said, "The best of you is he who is best to his wife." A major theme in the Quran that has been relevant not only in the past but the present is that of religious tolerance. The Quran clearly and strongly stresses in chapter 2, verse 256, there is to be no compulsion in religion. And that God has created not one but many nations and peoples. Many passages underscore the diversity of humankind. The Quran teaches that God deliberately created a world of diversity. Chapter 49:13 tells us, "O humankind, we have created you male and female and made you nations and tribes so that you might come to know one another." Muslims, like Christians and Jews before them, believe they have been called to a special, therefore, covenant relationship with God, constituting a community of believers intended to serve as an example to other nations. So diversity is inbuilt. We see this in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 143, and in establishing a just social order. Jews and Christians are regarded as people of the book, people who have also received the revelation. The Quran and Islam recognize that followers of the three great Abrahamic religions, the children of Abraham, share a common belief in the one God, all share a common hope and promise of eternal reward. As the Quran says, "Surely the believers and the Jews, Christians and Sabians, whoever believes in God in the last day and whoever does right shall have his reward with his Lord and will neither have fear nor regret." Quran chapter 2, verse 62.